Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Welcome to Bible Storytime with Vintage Faith. Today's story is found in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, Noah's Ark. The world was full of wickedness and evil. From people's actions to thoughts, God saw no good, and he regretted making humans. Everyone was bad except Noah. Noah was a very good man. The world had not turned out as God had hoped, and so he decided to create a big storm that would cause a flood and destroy everything so he could start again. But before God started the storm, he told Noah how to build a great boat, the ark. He told him exactly how long it should be, how many rooms it should have, how many windows and doors. And God told Noah that when the ark was finished, that he wanted him to get two of every animal, two of every bird, of every insect, and to put them safely in the ark along with his wife and sons and their wives. Now Noah said he would do it and built the ark exactly as God had told him. Just as the last nails were being hammered in, the sky went black and lightning started flashing. God had started the storm. Quickly, Noah had his family and everyone come into the ark. You hear him telling his family, "Get in! No pushing, you lions! Hurry up, you monkeys!" And everyone went into the ark, and just in time, the door was shut and locked. For nearly 6 weeks, it rained and rained and rained, and ground was completely covered with water. All the trees and mountains were covered too, and the ark sailed on. But the people and animals were safe inside. After a while, sunlight began to shine through the cracks in the windows, and Noah knew it was time to find out if the water had gone down. Noah opened the window, and a dove flew out to the clear blue sky. And Noah looked around, but he couldn't see any land yet. And when the dove came back the first time, there was no evidence of land. So a week later, Noah sent out the dove again, but this time it came back proudly carrying an olive twig in its beak. He was able to open the door of the ark, and all the animals ran out onto dry land. God spoke to Noah and he said, "I promise I won't flood the earth again. Go now and let your children and grandchildren make the world a really nice place to live in." And he went away, leaving a lovely rainbow to show that he was going to keep his promise. The end.
Great job, Hillary. Thanks, Hillary, for putting together the Felbo stories. My name is Matt Kladnick. Welcome to Vintage Faith. Everybody online, great to see you. Hope you're cozy on your comfortable couch. But you could be here with us in this humid little room, all sweating together at once. It's nice, smelling like a junior hire's bedroom. Real great smell. But good to have you guys here today. We're in a series right now called Sunday School Remix. Everyone, Sunday School, say Sunday School Remix. Say it like a rapper would say it. Say Sunday School Remix. There you go. Somebody's playing along. We're in this series right now where we're telling stories that I remember as going to when I went to Sunday school as a little boy. And when I was in Sunday school, it was before there were tablets, before there was technology of any sort whatsoever. But I remember learning these stories on a felt board. So we're just kind of rehashing these stories, and we're telling them in a new way. And so you saw the story of Noah and the ark, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. Noah and the Ark is one of the most popular Bible stories out there. It's probably one of the ones we think of the most. Hey, kids, you guys got your little kids' packet. Do you see a little mask in there with a little animal face on it? Can you do me a favor? I'm going to need you in a moment. Can you please, grown up or otherwise, put your mask on? I'm going to need your help in a second here. This story, Noah and the Ark, actually inspired one of the best movies ever made. You know what I'm talking about, Evan Almighty, for sure. some classic Steve Carell action. He matured out of The Office into a brilliant role like this. Don't listen to Rotten Tomatoes. This is a great movie. I remember watching this movie together. But in this movie, we see the story, or in this story, we see this redemption that happens. And, you know, kids love the story because kids love animals. Where are my animals at? Could you have your mask on? This is when I needed you. Mask. Okay, whatever mask you're wearing, make the sound of your animal. Go ahead. Roar. What does a deer say? Yep. What other animals do we have here? Make your animal sound on the count of three. One, two, three. Roar. All animals say roar is what I've learned from this. Good job, my little animals. But kids love animals, kids love boats, kids love rainbows. And that's the part of the story we focus on with the kids. But I want to look a couple layers below the rainbows, a couple layers below the animals and the boats. For me and for us in the room that have looked at the story in a little more detail, this is actually not just a story about animals, boats, and rainbows. This is a story about obedience, and it's a story about justice. It's a story about righteousness, about faithfulness, and redemption. It also teaches us something theologians call typology. Everyone say typology. Okay, you're going to leave this place with a Masters of Divinity today, honorary Masters of Divinity today. But we're going to talk about something, not just typology, we're going to talk about something called Christological typology. Everyone say Christological typology. Trust me, it's a word, okay? Typology is a form of biblical interpretation that casts Old Testament people, places, and things as foreshadows of people, places, and things to come. So that's kind of what typology is. But Christological typology, what we'll talk about today, is things that happen in the past that point us to Christ. And I think it's a fun way to interpret the Bible. It can get a little dangerous at times, but there's our foreshadows. There's like indicators of something to happen in the future. Does anyone else suffer from migraines in the room? Any other migraine sufferers? Go ahead, Bernadette, wave your hand in there. We all know, you and I share our migraine stories. But I get migraines, and one of the things with my migraines is I get what's called a migraine aura, which means I get these little wavy lines in my eyes, little squigglies that spin around circles in my eyes. And when this happens, when I get the squigglies, as I call it, when I get the squigglies, I've got half an hour, and I'm going to get a migraine. And so the clock starts, and I need to go find myself a dark place. I need to take, not like a sad place, I need to find a literal dark place. I need to lay down, I need to drink a glass of water because I have a migraine that's brewing. And in some ways, Christological typology, these are auras of what is soon to come. This is an indicator of something that is going to happen in the future. So when we learn about Noah and the ark, we can actually look at this through the lens of what does this tell us about Jesus, okay? What does this tell us about Christ? There are probably five or six different ways that this story points us to Jesus, but today we're going to look at one, and it's going to be one that you may not have thought of, and even your knowledge of Noah's Ark, this isn't probably something you would have think of, but we're going to talk about rest. Everyone say rest. Rest. Isn't that just a great word? Rest. It sounds good. If your spouse came home or your kids came home and they said, you know what, Mom, Dad, today's a good day for you to rest. You'd be like, I agree with that 100%. We're going to talk about rest. That's an interesting choice, right? How many of you thought when we learn about Noah and the ark, this should be a study about rest? We could talk about the 40 days of rain that relates to 40 days of Jesus' temptation, and we could talk about that. We could talk about the dove that Noah sent out to be a to bring the good news that things had resolved. And we could talk about the dove that descended upon Jesus at his baptism. We could talk about that. We could talk about how Noah's and Jesus' obedience saved all of humanity. We could talk a little bit about that. But I want to talk about rest because I think rest is really, really good news. Did you know that Noah's name actually means rest? How many people knew that? I didn't know it. I studied it. I read it in a book. It's true. Noah's name means rest. And names are really, really important in the Bible. Names are important today. More than likely, as you named your kid or as you named your fur baby, your dog or your cat, you named it, and there's some sort of story behind the name. Names have significance. Grace and I have a friend up in Canada, and she named her son Silas Danger, and I will omit the last name, Silas Danger. So if she ever calls me and says, you wouldn't believe what Silas did, I'd be like, you named him Danger. Silas jumped off the house onto the trampoline. I'd be like, you named him Danger. What were you expecting? So names kind of declare purpose and they declare some of the potential inside of someone. So Noah's name means rest. But as I looked at the story of Noah, and as you saw it on the screen in front of you, it didn't seem like Noah did a lot of resting, did it? Noah seemed to be really busy. In fact, Noah spent 125 years building this ark, which is crazy. But I started to think about Noah's name mean rest. And what does that tell me about Jesus? And when I heard this name, the word rest, I thought about how did Jesus talk about rest? And it threw me over to Matthew 11:28. These are Jesus' words. He said this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, again, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, Jesus can only give us something that he has. Jesus extends to him part of the overflow of who he is, and he gives us rest. And this rest that Jesus gives us is a gift that he gives us. You actually can't earn the kind of rest that only Jesus can give you. Have you ever tried to work your way into rest? I don't think you're ever going to land there. If I get all these things done, I can finally rest. I think you can, maybe. If you have a long to-do list, and I'm a list maker for sure, when I tick all the boxes, I say, once I'm done with this list, I can exhale and rest. If you are like me, as you are doing lists on your, taking care of things on your list, you're adding to your list as you're going, right? Or you're making up things you already did to put it on your list to feel like you're accomplishing something. I think rest, when we think about it like that, rest is something that is so elusive. But what if, and just what if, rest is a quality that Jesus, he gives us. He just says, take this rest. I've got plenty to offer. I want you to have rest. Noah's name means rest, and Jesus gives us rest. I think it's super interesting that Noah's name means rest because for a guy who looked so busy, it seems a little bit like those things don't match very much, do they? Hey, Noah, your name means rest. And you're going to spend 13% of your life building an ark to save all of humanity. But your name is rest. So there you go. It took him 125 years, 13% of his life, to build an ark that was, the ark was 1.5 football fields long. It was 4 stories high. And it could fit 450 40-foot containers inside, just to get an idea of the scope of this project. And he did all of this with his 3 sons. Has anyone worked with a child or a relative? That makes it harder. So Noah does this with 3 of his sons. He has no chainsaws, no bulldozers, no cranes, no podcast to listen to the whole time. No Spotify. You couldn't listen to AC/DC, Manchester Orchestra. You couldn't listen to Matt McMillan's favorite, Taylor Swift. You couldn't listen to any of the music that he likes. 125 years of labor and working. That doesn't sound at all like rest to me. And I was praying through this idea, this conflicting idea of all the work Noah did and the idea of rest. And I was wondering, I was curious. Have you ever read your Bible being a little curious? I was curious. This doesn't make sense to me. His name is rest, but he was swamped with work and heavy, demanding, scary work. Work that was very significant. Where did he find his rest? And I read in Genesis 6 where his rest came from. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Where did he find his rest? Noah walked with God. That's where his rest came from. If your rest comes from any other place, I'd tell you that's not rest, that's a lot of effort. Noah's rest came from walking with God. Do you know someday we're all going to pass away at some point? And there'll be a tombstone that commemorates the achievements of who you were. And you were a great dad, a great mom, a hard worker, someone who loved the world or fought for just causes. The more I think about it, I would like my life to be summed up with a phrase, kind of like what Noah's phrase was: Matt walked with God. I think sometimes, if we're honest, I run way ahead of God and I drag him into my plans. Have you ever done that? Sometimes I know very well what God wants me to do, but I choose to do something totally different. And sometimes I'm lagging way behind God and what he has for me. I would rather have this picture of walking with God. And that sounds like a peaceful journey, not a dragging him into my plans, not a stretching of his plans and my plans, and not me dragging my feet way behind him, but walking with him. This is where Noah's rest came from. His rest came from walking with God. You know, rest isn't the absence of activities. It isn't doing nothing. It isn't lounging in a hammock with a drink with an umbrella in it. Some of those things we think of, this is rest. Rest is having an empty email inbox. Rest is a quiet, clean house. Rest is something. I would say those are limited ideas of what rest is, but true rest, real rest, is walking with God. And that is a kind of rest you can experience anytime, anywhere, at any day. That's the kind of rest that you can have when the world seems to be imploding around you. I tell you what, in the world we're living in, it is a nonstop barrage of drama in our world. I don't know about you, but if you're trying to find rest away from the drama, you're never going to find real rest. Because of what Jesus has done and the gift of rest he gives us, he says, I'm going to give you peace and I'm going to give you rest that supersedes the chaos of that moment, right? So you can get that email you didn't want to get. You can have that conversation that was really difficult. You can get that news you didn't want to get. You can have that day that you didn't want to have, and you can still find rest because his rest is a gift. It is his presence. I was reminded about how important it is to realize that we are walking with God. This week, I had lunch with Mary Walker. Only one yay, Mary Walker. Some of you don't know Mary Walker very well, but she's watching online right now, and I'm imagining the shade of red she's turning as I'm talking about her. And so, hi, Mary, we love you. I had lunch with Mary, and Mary is very sweet, and she's unable to get into church at the moment, but she's still with us in spirit. She's probably typing away on her keyboard right now, saying hello to everyone. But I had lunch with Mary. We went to Panera. It was so cute. I opened the door for her. She was just lovely as could be. She ordered the cheddar broccoli soup, and I was envious of what she ordered. I had the chicken sandwich. I regretted it. But as we're talking and having lunch, we're just naturally just sharing about what's going on in life and family. And that led to naturally sharing, like, what is the Lord doing in your life right now? And Mary just looked at me. She's at that season of life where things are slowing down in certain ways. And she looked at me and she said, you know what, Matt? The thing that keeps me going day by day now is I know that I know that I know that he is with me. And she's like, and he's with me now, and he's going to be with me forever. She's like, someday he's going to be with me in a way I've always wanted, but right now I'm practicing experiencing him being with me today. And I was like, you know what? I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that he is with me. Let us, who are in a different season of life, you got little kids, you got your work, career, you have your mobility in certain ways. What if we would learn that truth now sooner than later? He's just with me. And that the peace of that statement would really wash over us. Yeah, things are messy, things are hard, but he promises to be with me. I'm so thankful for lunch with Mary because she reminded me how important that is. And I'm so thankful for Noah for being an example of what it looks like to be with God. If you're moving through life fighting with God, it is like a chasing after some sort of fairy tale. It's just not real. But Noah lived up to his namesake because he was obedient and he did it all with God. He wasn't lagging behind God. He wasn't running behind God, running ahead of God. He was in step with God. This idea of rest. We're going to take a second here and break into your tables. That's why you're in circle tables. We're going to have about 4 or 5 minutes. There's going to be questions on the screen in front of you. So enjoy getting to know the people you're with. We're going to take about 4 minutes, answer these questions, and then we'll wrap up the service. And then it's veggie dogs for all, okay? So enjoy your couple minutes of questions and enjoy getting to know your table. All right, everybody. I'm so sorry to cut you off early. I got one kid up here with one shoe, apple juice in one hand. That's how we roll. Well, I'm sure at your table, did you learn something from somebody else at your table? Did they look at this a little different than you did? Marissa's saying she learned something from her boys. That's about right. Well, I think that's one of the great reasons of doing this is we get to learn from one another. And my hope is that these conversations can continue as we go from this place. I'm encouraged that a life of rest is totally obtainable, but it doesn't come from activity, it comes from intimacy. The rest that God has from us doesn't come from doing more things, it comes from being in his presence. And if you tried to find rest in the other way, you found a very, very hollow idea of what rest really is. When we think of the story of Noah and the ark, we likely go to the story being a story of obedience and faithfulness and justice and righteousness and redemption. But I would argue this, that none of those teaching points about Noah and the ark even come to be if Noah first doesn't find his identity in being a person who walks with God. And well, so what this means for you is if you feel like God has any good thing for you, that he has any great contribution to make through your life, if you feel like God has anything that he would want to use you to do on this planet, the first step of walking in the promises that God has for you is to walk with him. I tell you what, as someone who's been running with Jesus for a while, I've done it the wrong way and I've done it the right way. Time spent with the Lord in his presence is always time well spent. Time spent chasing after my dreams and my ambitions and the tasks in front of me oftentimes make me feel like I'm chasing after the wrong thing. So I wonder what it would look like for each of us to prioritize being in his presence. What might that look like for you? I got a couple ideas. Maybe on your way to work, just turn the radio off. Just have a second, say, Lord, what do you want to say? Let's just have a conversation. With all the hands-free things in cars now, if you're talking in your car, no one thinks you're crazy. They think you're talking to the CEO of the company or something, I don't know. What it would look like just to have a conversation with the Lord? What would it look like for you to crack open your Bible before you start scrolling through your social media account? What would that look like? What would it look like to commit time to pray with your spouse or your kids before you start fighting with your spouse or your kids? What would it look like to invite Jesus into your moment rather than thinking that how you are obedient in that moment leads to his presence? Because I don't think it works that way. He wants your heart first, and then he wants your hands. Jesus, we pray that your words would penetrate our hearts today and that something about your spirit right now would be introducing us to a new rhythm of life, a rhythm of walking with you. Thank you for Noah's life and his obedience, but thank you, first of all, for how he found his identity in being someone who walked with you. Let that be our story as well. Thank you for what you're doing here in this place. Thank you for the food we're about to eat, the fun we're about to have, the sun we're about to get. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, we're going to leave in 1 second. I really hope you can stick around for a little while. We have games. Thank you, Matt McMillan, for the oddest games you've ever played. It's going to be so much fun. We have games. We have food. There's hot dogs, veggie dogs, all sorts of shenanigans. You're not going to want to miss any of it. Also, the Lucases are going to be here for another couple weeks. They would love to hang out with you more. There's so many more stories than they could share with you. So talk to them. Set up some time to connect with them. They would love to share with more. They're going to be here today. They'll be around the rest of the next couple of weeks. So thank you, Lucas, for being with us. And let's go and be the church.